The Daily Connect podcast.
And it's Friday, the 5th of October. Thank you for downloading. Hello, I'm Stephen Scott. Coming up, we are going to be discussing blindness and partial sight. What's the difference between both? And is it better to be blind than partially sighted? Interesting question with a rather interesting debate to follow. Julie Woods from New Zealand and Kiri Doyle from Northern Ireland join me to discuss that. We are also going to be checking in with Lindsay Coyle and Una Mulgrew, both community facilitators at RNIB Connect, to find out what's happening in their parts of the world, in the northeast of England and Northern Ireland specifically. And we also have Chris Wallace back in the studio with us today. He is here to tell us about what is on this weekend on TV, at the cinema and elsewhere, even at the theatre. Something for the weekend is coming up. But first, we kick off our podcast today with the subject that has kind of been our main theme all week, and that is audio description. Now, we've talked about the issues, the challenges of audio description, but today we had from Sonali Rai, who works at RNIB, and she told us about what she's doing to make sure more audio description is available to blind people at the cinema.
It's October, so it's the time for the British Film Institute's London Film Festival. It's an annual affair and pulls film fans from across the world. This year, it'll run from the 10th until 22nd of October across cinemas in London. And I think it's for the first time the film provides a number of accessible screenings, so subtitles and audio description. Number of great titles. I was looking at the lineup and I can't make up my mind of which ones to attend or which ones to leave out, to be honest.
That's a good problem to have.
Very good problem to have. Strong lineup of British and international films. There's a period comedy starring Olivia Colman. I would strongly recommend that. It's called The Favourite. A number of other titles, however, I must flag that tickets are selling out. In fact, a lot of titles are sold out at the moment. I'm looking at their website. I would urge your listeners, if they are interested, take a look at the BFI website and find the title that you want to watch and book tickets now.
Be quick. And, on the subject of audio description at the cinema, we've spoken over the past couple of years now, Sonali, about different ways that people listen to AD content in the cinemas, and I'm sure many of our audience will be familiar with the headsets that they're given if it's an AD performance that they can listen to. But there's also work being done to perhaps create an app which people could use, make it a bit more convenient.
Absolutely. So it's the movie reading app that we were talking about. I think we've tested it twice with big groups, and we've always had very positive feedback. The next step will be to launch a pilot again with one of the apps that works in a similar way. So it synchronizes audio description with the output in cinema. And this time, hopefully have a UK-wide pilot to give the opportunity to many more people to try the app and feedback. What do they think of this delivery system? Does it work as well as the cinema delivery? And what are the drawbacks? So the whole user experience. But in order for us to launch something like this, we need cooperation from the industry. So I'm talking about the cinema exhibitors as well as the film distributors. And that is something that requires, I think, a lot of negotiation. It's an ongoing conversation with the industry at the moment. There are concerns about security, so people using mobile phones in cinemas. We are trying to work through these, and our point is always you cannot compromise accessibility. Yes, if there are security concerns, we understand, but I'm sure there are ways to counter it. And that's what we've been going back with. I can't share, obviously, all details at the moment because these are confidential discussions. But I hope to have an update soon, and I hope the industry will work with us on this, because without their cooperation, it's not something that we can launch.
That is Sonali Rai from RNIB speaking there to Alan Russell.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now let's find out what's happening in RNIB Connect around the country. We will start with the northeast of England, and Lindsay Coyle is there. Thank you for coming on, Lindsay.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here, Lindsay, telling us all about what's happening in the northeast. Now, that's quite a big area, Lindsay.
It is. We kind of go down kind of as far as the North Yorkshire borders and up north as far as the borders of Scotland. So, yeah, it is quite a big patch, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not grim up north, is it?
It's certainly, no, if I can assure you, it's certainly not grim up north.
No, certainly not, and especially around RNIB Connect. Tell us about what's been happening in your area and what's to come.
Well, I've got lots of things to come over the next few months, actually, and all of our events are planned and led by Blind and Partially Sighted people. So to give you a heads up on what's going to come up. So in the Northeast, we're looking to kind of, I guess, relaunch, for want of better words, some of our campaigning activity. And I think you kind of say the word campaign, you think around kind of marching and being quite loud and tying yourself to railings and, you know, being quite angry. To me, it's a bit softer than that. So it's more around organisations like public transport operators or the NHS or local authorities. It's about making them understand the needs of blind and partially sighted people in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And say, well, actually, if we can offer your service a little bit differently, then that will make it easier for us to use. I mean, I'm visually impaired myself, and I'm a parent of a young girl with sight loss as well. So, it's about getting that message across in a softer way. So we're going to have a bit of a chat around where in the Northeast, what we should be focusing on. So is it transport? Is it health? Is it bins on pavements? Is it something completely different that we've not discussed before? So we've got two events coming up, one in Middlesbrough on the 19th of October, and one our office is in Wall's End, actually, North Tyneside, on the 23rd of October, both starting at 10:30. So it's really, really a chance to have a chat informally about what you think our priorities should be. And it's really, we want to be led by blind and partially sighted people in the area. And obviously we can support when we talk about campaigning. We've got support to help people go and talk to the council or talk to the local MP, for example. So we're not asking you to do it all on your own. We've got a really, really strong network of quite active people across the region who are confident and, you know, can really get the message across. So it's really, these events are really to kind of get a feel for where people feel their priorities lie and what we should be focusing on. So it's entirely up to you guys what that might be.
Yeah, and that's the most important bit of all of this. It's not a case of, well, you know, there's three or four things in the local area that we would like to campaign on, we being whoever, and, you know, actually come along and shout about it. No, it's not that. It's not some they. It's you. It's about you and what you want to talk about.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you, and I think as well it's important to say, Lindsay, this is the case a lot with our existence as blind and partially sighted people. We often just accept things because, well, it's the world the way it is. And, you know, you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, it is like that, but what can you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And we come across that a lot. And I think it's very understandable that people might kind of respond in that way.
Yeah.
And I can say, actually, anything that you do, however small it might be. So if you're going into, say, your local restaurant, for example, and the you ask for a large menu, that, in a sense, you're campaigning because you're asking them to do things a little bit differently. And I think, and that things won't change unless we ask them to change. And it's really about informing people in a positive way, and not saying, actually, services aren't particularly good. It's actually saying, actually, these are the things you can do to make your services better. So when we work with bus operators, for example, we often work with the drivers to kind of get them sat in, you know, get them to kind of try and find a seat or try and read a bus number with SIM specs on, for example. So it's around kind of trying to inform organisations that provide services. So we can't do that without understanding the experiences of blind and partially sighted people.
Okay, now let's focus on some of the other events that you've got coming up, because you've got more, lots going on.
We've got loads going on. It's gone crazy.
Yeah, that's good.
Next up, we've got an event on the 7th of November, which actually coincides with a visit to the Northeast from Sophie Castell, who's one of RNIB's directors. So she kind of heads up our relationships team, who essentially work with external organisations in a nutshell. So we really, it's much, much broader than the event I've just described. So this isn't just focusing on campaigning per se. This really is around getting to know the team in the Northeast. So obviously we've got campaigning as a function. We've got Connect, which kind of essentially is our peer support team. We have volunteering, we have fundraising. So it's really a chance for you to sort of tell us what you think we should be doing across the region in a much, much broader sense. So what kind of events you might like to see or other activities. So part of it is around just sharing that kind of, you know, those ideas and those thoughts kind of going forward. We also are looking to, on that day, have some kind of other organisations come and tell us about their services. So across the North East, we've got lots and lots and lots of peer support and activity groups. So things like VI Tennis, for example. We've got lots of Connect social groups that are setting up. There are lots of kind of activity, like things like walking groups or groups that go out to theatres and so on. So it's really a chance for them to come and tell you about what they do and whereabouts they are. So what we often find is when people join Connect, they say they're in or something, so I'm in X area, what's available to me in my area? Or I'm interested in walking, are there any walking groups where I live? So partly what we want to do on that particular event is to try and link people in with groups that they might find of interest. So that event is the 7th of November in Darlington. It's a place called the Dolphin Centre, which is very nice. But that's, again, also a chance for you to meet one of our directors as well and ask any questions that you might have. So, but that's a much, much kind of more broad event, and that's open to anybody who's lives across the North East, essentially.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Is that it? Is there more? I'm sure you'd be going for days.
There is more. We have, in the Northeast, we've got a group of young people. And I say the word young, I'm talking 18 to 30, which sadly I'm no longer in that age bracket anymore.
No, neither am I.
And they have decided that they would like to set up their own group and do their own activities. So we're looking, deals to be finalised, we're looking at doing a 10-pin bowling event beginning of December. So that's probably definitely going to happen at some point. So once deals are confirmed, we can let people know. But I think in the interim, just contact us. And lastly, Christmas. I know it sounds so still.
How dare you?
To say the C word already, but we have two Christmas events planned already. So the first is Newcastle on Monday the 10th of December, and the second is in Middlesbrough on Tuesday the 11th of December. What I would say with any of the events that I've talked about, so whether that's the campaigning events, whether it's the event in Darlington in November, whether it's the bowling event for young people, or the Christmas events, I would say contact the North East office to all booking for all events is essential, and lunch is provided at all of them. But the best way to get in touch is just send an email to northeast@rnib.org.uk. Or you can contact our main office on 01642 265240. And for those of you who are fans of social media, we also have a Northeast Connect Facebook group, which just literally is RNIB Connect Northeast. So any of the events that we do are also promoted on the group as well. It's now becoming a really kind of vibrant and active community of blind and partially sighted people. So we appreciate that while social media isn't for everybody, we are getting lots of people kind of coming on there and sharing their experiences and just generally making contact with one another, which is great. So that's it from me.
Thank you so much for coming on, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here, and good luck with everything you're doing in the Northeast.
Thanks very much. Speak to you soon.
The Daily Connect podcast.
I hope your cup of tea is ready, because it's time for the discussion today, and it's all about blindness and partial sight. Is one better than the other, or are they both equally as, well, good or bad? That's, I guess, the question. It can go off in so many different ways. Julie Woods and Kiri Doyle join me on the line. Julie's from New Zealand and is famous for not saying no to things. She wants to try new things in life. She wants to experience more since she lost her sight. Also, we hear from Kiri Doyle, who's tried not to let her blindness since birth let her down or put her off doing anything, frankly. Both on the line with me now. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're talking today about the issue of blindness and partial sight and the differences between both. Now, Julie, you're in a rather interesting position here because you have been fully sighted, then partially sighted, then completely blind. And I remember a while back we spoke about this, and I remember reading a 7-word story about you and your view on that whole experience. And your 7-word story was sighted, partially sighted, blind, happy, sad, happy. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I know it sounds a bit odd, but I guess really when I was partially sighted from the age of 18 to 31, I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. I didn't belong in the sighted world and I didn't belong in the blind world. So as a consequence, I didn't receive any services. I didn't get to hang out with people that were just like me because I didn't know where to find them. So it wasn't until I went blind at the age of 31 that I moved away from the sighted world towards the blind world. And there was a group of people that were suddenly like me, people that couldn't see. And I found that very liberating. And behind that community of people, too, was also support services that enabled me to, be the best blind person I could be.
Okay. In your case, Kerry, you are blind and you have been since birth. So, going by what you've heard from Julie, that the suggestion is that you must be happy being blind. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds really odd, doesn't it? Yeah, you know what though? Yes, absolutely. I am, to be fair. And that's how, I commented on the Facebook and said, I'd rather be blind than partially sighted, and I don't mean that in any, offensive or disrespectful way whatsoever. But I think it's just say it's kind of handy to just be able to say, oh yeah, no, I can't see, that's it now, and there's no sort of like, can you see this out, can you see that, or maybe you see that at night or in the day or something, and there's no kind of ambiguity there, like I'm just blind and I'm just blind, so yes, I think I'm much happier being blind than either if I'd lost it or being partially sighted, absolutely.
I mean, Julie, in your case, being partially sighted, if I can take you back to that time, what was it about being partially sighted that, in your words, made you sad?
Well, Kerry's touched on it actually. It's around people not understanding what partial sight is all about. It's very hard to describe to someone that you can see something, close up but not far away, and you can kind of see around the outside, but your central vision's not very good. So it's very difficult to explain that, and I just found it easier to go underground basically because I met such opposition around what it was. Why couldn't I get glasses? That was a common thing I kept on getting. It's like, oh, I'd rather actually end up not talking about it. And I guess that did drive me underground. And once I became blind, of course, I could no longer hide it. So it was that level of understanding, as Kerry talked about, people get total blindness and they get total sightedness, but they don't get much in between.
So is that a problem? Well, it clearly is a problem that people face. I mean, I know this myself because I'm partially sighted, and I do come to this question with lots of questions of my own because, it's interesting to me. I've often wondered whether or not it would be easier just to have no sight. But I often think that's quite a horrible view as well because you don't want to think in those terms, do you?
But that's not horrible to me or possibly to Kerry. It's because when you release that, when you let go of what you can't see very well, you're then able to embrace your other senses. And for me, that's where I think I've found my success, not in the fact that I can't see anymore, but the fact that I can smell, hear, taste, and touch. And that's the way I now interpret my world. And I just have moved into another way of doing things in different ways, and receiving information through those other senses. So almost letting go that of the sight has enabled me to tap into another way of existing.
I just want to pick up on that point you both make around attitudes. Do you find, Kerry, that people don't ask you a lot about your sight because it's clear to other people, or you make it clear to other people, you just can't see anything?
Yeah, I mean, I guess people as well, people don't want to ask because they're afraid to ask the wrong stuff. They're afraid of asking the questions in the wrong way. I've even had it where people, and I'm sure Julie's experienced it, people won't even use the words, did you see such and such on the television last night? Did you watch this on the TV? And I'm like, sure, I watch television. What are you talking about? I mean, I like Friends as much as the next person, kind of thing. And so people are scared, and I find as well a lot people won't say when I've been in the workplace and stuff before, people won't approach you to even have a conversation and say, hi, morning, how are you? Because they don't know what to say. So it's like, oh, well, I don't know what to say to you, so I just won't say anything at all.
Yes, I've kind of countered that because I'm a speaker and I go out and tell my story. So I teach all my audiences how to meet and greet a blind person. So it's hello, Julie, it's Stephen from RNIB Radio or whatever. So it's kind of encouraging that interaction because my mother says it's very easy to walk past you, you know. I mean, that's what Kerry's talking about, yeah, because it's very easy for people to pass us by and kind of slip on. And, and yeah, you do find often that there's an uncomfortableness around blindness, and that's why I do encourage people to come up and say hello, use my name, tell me who they are, so that they feel they're on the front foot a bit more than if they didn't have any skills or confidence to actually come up and say hello. So, I mean, you're constantly educating people about how to interact with a blind person. So, you know, you're always on duty.
Yeah,
that's true. Stick around because we want to continue this discussion. We'll get into that and some of the other challenges around attitudes as well. But we'll get to that shortly here on The Daily Connect.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Hello, let's find out what's happening in Northern Ireland as we join community facilitator there for RNIB Connect, Una Mulgrew.
Hello, this is Una Mulgrew from Connect NI, letting you know about a few things that are going on up in the Derry, Londonderry area. Firstly, on a Tuesday and a Thursday at 11 a.m, there's walking groups that start just outside the Embassy building on the Strand Road. It's just for a bit of a walk and a chat with each other. On a Thursday from 10 to 12, Brian will be there for drop-in. This is for anybody who would like to get any information, tell a story, or ask him some advice. If Brian isn't able to help you, he will be able to redirect you to someone who will. On a Wednesday at 1:30, there's a knit and natter gathering. More people, the merrier. And again, this is just for a bit of a chat and to meet new people if you haven't been there already. Thanks very much. For any more information, please telephone our Derry office on a Thursday morning between 10 and 12. The telephone number is 028 71 366 060. Thank you.
And if you have something coming up that you'd like to tell us about, then you can email me, radio@rnib.org.uk. Tell us what's happening in your part of the world.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Let's get back to our discussion today then. We're joined by Julie Woods and Kiri Doyle. Julie's in New Zealand, Kiri's in Northern Ireland, and both here to talk about blindness versus partial sight. We talked earlier about the challenges and some of the attitudes that we hear about from sighted people, and how sometimes complicated it can be to try and explain who we are and how our sight affects us to the wider sighted public. It is quite a challenge. But I have to say, both of you are very upbeat. I'd almost say maybe a bit too upbeat around blindness. You both seem very happy as blind people.
Yeah, come on to the other side. It's not. Yeah. I met a woman the other day. She came and heard me read a book in Braille, a challenge that I was doing at the libraries. And she's approaching 70 and she's going blind. And I said to her, you know, the worst moment for me was when I knew what was happening in my left eye was about to happen in my right. And that's the hard part. So being blind is a lot easier than going blind.
Interesting distinction. And obviously, Kerry, you in a sense don't have that experience because you've always been blind.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I've always been this way. So it's funny because I've been around a group of people before and we were having like a discussion about just being blind and going blind and all that. And it was really, really difficult actually for me to be in that discussion because so many of the people were like really kind of angry and sad and, you know, being blind is like the worst thing ever. And I'm like, oh, come on, lads, it's not that bad, you know, it's fine, you know, like, and it made me really uncomfortable. I was like, I can't listen to this. It makes me so sad because it's like, it's just not the, we, We are so fortunate in so many ways. You know, we can hear to talk to you, we can listen to music, we can still watch TV like everyone else does, maybe just a wee bit different, you know. So we can do most things just a little differently, and it makes me sad when people are, you know, really sad about being blind, because there are so many worse things to be.
Is that what makes this awkward as a discussion generally? I mean, even within our own community, as we call the blind and partially sighted world as a community together, does it make it more awkward because everybody has so many different experiences? Everyone's at different stages. Some people, like myself, are on a path to, well, the same as yesterday, because in theory my eye condition shouldn't change. So what I've been given isn't great. It's about 30% useful vision. That's what I've got. But you guys were given, in your case, Kerry, nothing. And then, you know, Julie, over a period of time, you lost all of it. You know, we're all at such different points. Is it hard, therefore, to come together as a community on that basis? Because, you know, when you listen to you, Kerry, we think there might be people who might think, well, hang on a minute, you know, that's not a fair representation of being blind or going blind.
I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I don't know. I just kind of think, to me, and I don't know what Julie feels, it's an inconvenience. Can I say inconvenience with a capital I at times? You know, it really is. But it is not. I think I could be so many worse things. I count myself lucky that it's only a sensory disability that I have, and that it's only my vision that I've not got. So, and also, you know, I've got my dog, so I think that's kind of one of the privileges of not being able to see, is that I get to work with him all the time, and I've got to, you know, help so many people do different things with technology and all this kind of stuff. So I've done a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have done if I wasn't me. So I don't find it a massive thing. And I just, really quickly as well, I do kind of think we are, all of us are kind of society's test, because people don't know how to react to us, as Julie has kind of touched on. So I think we are society's test. Every time we go outside our houses and we interact with people, we help them to understand that it isn't such a bad thing and how to interact with us, etc.
So it's important to promote that, then.
I wouldn't say I actively do it. I in the same way that Julie doesn't. Julie's just herself, I'm just myself. So but I think it's important to be positive as much as we can, yeah.
I mean, Julie, from your perspective, you seem a very happy person, and I wouldn't ever want to take that away from you, but, you know, you seem such a positive person about things. But there must be days, I imagine, where, you know, you will remember the days you could see something, you might be trying to do something, and it frustrates you. Does that still happen to you, or have you just written that off?
I think I've written that off, because that's a loser's approach to I want to focus on what I can do. So if I'm going to focus on what I can't do the whole time, what kind of existence is that going to be? I don't find that's going to be very helpful. So I do try, and I mean, yeah, sure, sometimes I get frustrated. I get most frustrated with people's attitudes when they think that we can't do stuff, and
yeah,
the only thing we can't do is see. You know, people think that we can't boil an egg or bake a cake or, you know, use a computer, use a telephone, use a cell phone. There are so many things that sighted people don't think that blind people can do. And to me, that's just about getting out there and doing that stuff and educating them. But, you know, that's a big job.
Well, I appreciate your time. I thank you for your honesty as well. And, you know, I thank you for your positivity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The Daily Connect Podcast. Well, it's Friday on the podcast, and that means it's time for this.
The Daily Connect.
Yes, indeed, my favourite time of the week, because we get to look forward to everything that's happening over the weekend, although something for the weekend is a little bit of a misnomer this weekend, as most things seem to be taking place on a Wednesday. You'll find out what I mean in just a few moments, but let's get into it, and starting with Netflix. Great online streaming service with fantastic audio description options releases a Netflix original, Not this weekend, but Wednesday. So it's one to set your calendars for. It's called 22 July, and in this Netflix original movie, Academy Award nominated filmmaker Paul Greengrass, who brought us Captain Phillips in United 93, tells the true story of the aftermath of Norway's deadliest terror attack.
Breaking news, a large explosion has gone off in the center of the city.
We will suspend activities until we get some more information, okay?
I'm from Oslo PD. You heard about the bomb in the city?
Yes.
I've been sent to secure the island.
Actually, can I see your ID?
Yeah, sure.
What was that?
So on the 22nd of July 2011, 77 people were killed when a far-right extremist detonated a car bomb in Oslo before carrying out a mass shooting at a leadership camp for teens. 22 July uses the lens of one survivor's physical and emotional journey to portray the country's path to healing and reconciliation. Now, this is quite a get for Netflix. They've done a lot of original films before, but they've sort of been confined to things that are a bit quirky. A lot of Adam Sandler films came through the Netflix originals, as well as the unwanted Cloverfield films from J.J. Abrams. But this one is from Paul Greengrass, as I said, Oscar nominated for Captain Phillips, and about a true story that a lot of us remember. So that's one that's coming out this Wednesday, 22 July, Netflix original. Jumping to the cinema, and well, again, Wednesday releases. Both of these movies came out this Wednesday, so they are available to you this weekend. And I tell you, I'm going to see one of them this weekend. When we get to the end, I'll let you know which one. But released this week was Venom. Now, this is a Marvel movie, but a Marvel movie from a Sony studio. So it's not quite in the Marvel canon that we're used to. It is not even featuring any of the Marvel's beloved superheroes. The tagline for this film is, "The world has enough superheroes." So this film is about one of Marvel's most enigmatic, complex, and bad characters, who's coming to the big screen starring Academy Award-nominated actor Tom Hardy as the lethal protector, Venom.
We cannot just hurt people.
Look into my eyes, Eddie. The way I see it, we can do whatever we want.
That power, it's not completely awful.
You have no idea how much you're scaring me right now.
Eddie, cooperate. And you just might survive.
So as I say, a Marvel film, but not quite from Marvel Studios. We'll see how that plays into Marvel's domination of the cinema at the moment. It's not getting great reviews, Venom, so you might want to give that one a skip and instead go and see A Star Is Born. Yes, in this new take on the tragic love story, Bradley Cooper plays seasoned musician Jackson Maine, who discovers and falls in love with struggling artist Allie, played by Lady Gaga. She's just about given up on her dreams to make it big as a singer until Jax coaxes her into the spotlight. But even as Allie's career takes off, the personal side of their relationship is breaking down as Jack fights an ongoing battle with his own internal demons.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Okay.
Tell me something, girl.
Do you write songs or anything?
I don't sing my own songs.
Why?
I just don't feel comfortable.
Why wouldn't you feel comfortable?
Almost every single person has told me they liked the way I sounded, but that they didn't like the way I look.
I think you're beautiful.
I'm falling.
Hey.
What?
I just want to take another look at you.
So that's A Star Is Born, which was released on Wednesday, so you can check it out at the cinema this weekend. I was on location for A Star Is Born. Now, I say that, it's a bit of a roundabout way of being on location. I was in an RNIB iTest karaoke tent just around the corner from where Bradley Cooper filmed his festival scenes. I'm not sure if they're going to say it was in Glastonbury where his character Jackson Maine was performing, but certainly an outdoor festival of some kind. And just before Kris Kristofferson came on, so he was playing to a country audience, Bradley Cooper came out and played one song on guitar to be used in this movie. I didn't see Bradley. As I say, I was stuck in an R&IB tent promoting eye health, but I did pop around the corner and see my namesake, Kris Kristofferson, who did an amazing show, and he brought out, not Bradley Cooper, but other Hollywood royalty, Johnny Depp. Anyway, that's A Star Is Born and Venom, both released in the cinema. They are available. You can pop out to the cinema now and check them out, but do check local cinemas for AD listings across the country. Some AD theatre, and it's a big one this weekend. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child Parts 1 and 2 are playing at the Palace Theatre in London. So that's tomorrow night, well, tomorrow afternoon, Part 1 taking place at 2 o'clock with a touch tour at 12. And if you like, you can stick around for Part 2, which is taking place at 7:30. So the touch tour encompasses both Parts 1 and 2. That's only available at 12 noon. Part 1 playing at 2 p.m., Part 2 playing at 7:30 p.m., Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is the eighth story in the Harry Potter series and the first official Harry Potter story to be presented on stage, bringing together some of the most exciting talent working in theatre today. It was always difficult being Harry Potter, and it isn't much easier now that he's an overworked employee of the Ministry of Magic, a husband and father of three school-age children. I know this is one that hit the West End. Everyone was excited to see it, so I'm glad that it is available this weekend. Audio described by Vocalise. Now, before I let you get off to enjoy your weekend, there is one more thing worth mentioning. The fantastic Miss Kylie Minogue is performing this weekend at the SSE Arena in Belfast. Not quite the weekend, Monday night, but Kylie is out in Belfast. If you are in the area, do go and check her out. This is an incredibly country-themed show. Obviously, it's promoting her latest album, which was Kylie's take on country music. So I'm very curious to hear what your thoughts are on this, Stephen. Kylie Minogue as a country superstar, Lady Gaga as a country superstar. This Something for the Weekend has been entirely aimed at you, my friend. Let me know what you think.
Well, we did hear the song on the show. We're not playing it here because apparently there's something to do with copyright on podcasts. But we're not going to get into that. If you do want to hear the show in full, though, it is available on the website, rnibconnectradio.org.uk. Or do you know what? Just Google the song. Right, that's it for the show this week. Thank you so much for listening. We are back Monday morning from 10 o'clock on RNIB Connect Radio, Freeview 7:30. And online on smart speakers and basically anywhere you can get internet radio. Superb. Check out. It's amazing. Some great shows over the weekend as well and great podcasts as well. Check all that out online. Have a great weekend. I'll catch you Monday.
The Daily Connect Podcast.